This is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, Exodus 20, 12, and then we will also read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. So Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, then Ephesians chapter 6. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Then Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, for you, our heavenly Father. Lord, you created us for very express, specific reasons to have a relationship with you. Lord, you take pleasure in building a relationship with us. And Lord, I just pray that we would take it the same way, that we would every single day seek to know you more, to be in your presence, to grow in the grace that has been given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I just thank you for the fathers in this room. Thank you, Lord, for our earthly biological fathers that have raised us, and Lord, that you've put in our lives. And Father, I just pray that you would bless them, bless us as fathers, and help us to be as our Heavenly Father. Help us to conform unto the image of his Son so that our children can do the same. I just pray that this morning that as our children look to us and follow us, that they would not be following the world, that they would not be following someone who is not following you, but they would be, as they follow us, be following Christ. Father, I just pray that you'd help us to know and understand the influence that we have, and that it can be used for good or bad, for you or for the world. Father, speak to us this morning. Lord, we need you. Be with preacher as he speaks. Fill him with your Holy Spirit and use him in a mighty way. Help our hearts to be open. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to add a passage of scripture to what Brother Craig read for us this morning. I want you to look with me at the book of Jeremiah, chapter 35, and look at some verses with me there. Jeremiah chapter 35, and we'll begin reading there in verse number 1. It is Father's Day, and we're thankful for our dads. We're thankful that as dads for our children. Amen, guys? Two of you are. We're thankful as dads for our children. Amen? All right, a few more of you are. Some of you, you haven't got the answer to that yet. You're trying to figure it out. But in Jeremiah chapter 35, important passage of scripture, it says in verse number 1, "The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers." And then notice this, he said, "And give them wine to drink." Now look at the next verse, verse 3. "Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, the man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine, and cups, and I said unto them, Drink ye wine." Now look at verse 6. "But they said, We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyards, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in the tents, that ye may live many days in the land wherein ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all the day, all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyards, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up to the land, that he said, Come and let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Now notice, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey the Father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened unto me. God said, these sons of Rechab, they obeyed their father, but he said, I have talked to you, and you haven't listened to me. Look at verse 15. I have sent also unto you all the servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, had performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. And I have called unto them, and they have not answered. Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Now there's an amazing principle that's given to us in this chapter, and I want to speak to you on the subject, a forgotten principle that guarantees success. There's a principle that we have forgotten, and God says it will bring great success to us in our lives. On the back of your bulletin, there's some notes. There's three or four things I want to give to you just right in a row quickly and then share some thoughts with you. First of all, I want you to notice that the principle that guarantees success is the principle of the Rechabites. The principle of the Rechabites. Jeremiah was told by God to bring the Rechabites into the house of the Lord and to give them wine to drink. But the third thing I want you to notice, the Rechabites refused to drink the wine because their father commanded them not to do it. Fourthly, they obeyed the commandment of their fathers. They obeyed the commandment of their fathers. When our Lord gave to us the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, Brother Craig read the verse for us, Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And again in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, God said, Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be, what's the next word? Well. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. God said if we want things to be well with us, the principle is we must honor our father and our mother. A number of years ago when our kids were still at home, 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, or 20 or 30 or 40 or whatever it was, our kids were still at home and our family was headed off on vacation. School was over for the year, and Vicki and I both needed a break, and Andy and Kelly wanted to visit Pensacola Christian College. They had both been going to, or Andy had been going to Crown College, and then later they all, Andy and Kelly and Jessica, all graduated from Crown. But they wanted to go visit Pensacola, and Andy as I said, Andy had gone to Crown. Kelly wanted to do the nursing, and she took some nursing there at Pensacola. And we were taking the trip down there, and the first night of our trip, we got to the motel, and we checked into the motel, and Andy came out, and he said, "Dad," he said, "I got some bad news." He said, I smell antifreeze at the car." So I got in the car, and I backed up, and sure enough, under the car, there was a puddle of antifreeze there. I popped the hood, and steam was coming out. Some of you have been there. You've done that. And I checked. I thought maybe I busted a water hose or a clamp had come off and it pulled off of the engine. And I couldn't see anything. And I looked it over as best I could. Nothing. So the next morning, overnight, the engine cooled and there was a Walmart there. We went to the Walmart and the man told us, he said, "There's an exit. Or there's a Walmart at the next exit." It was about 2 miles down. And so we drove the car down there. Well, on the way down, the thing started heating up again on us. And we went down to that exit. But before we went down there, during that night, I got sick during the night in the motel room. And I was up during the night throwing up and just a rough night for me and miserable. And the next morning we got up, we drove down to the Exxon station. We got down there and the car started overheating again. And the man said at the Exxon, he said, "We don't do any mechanical work." But he said, "If you'll go up to the next exit," he said, "at the next exit, there's a Firestone garage, which was back at the same exit we had just left and come from." And so he sent us back up there, and so we took it back up there. They did a pressure test on us. They couldn't even find a pinhole in the hose, and the car was still overheating. So they replaced the thermostat, and it temperature came down a little bit, but it still was overheating. And they test drove it, and the guy said, "Well, it's not getting hot. It's overheating a little bit." He said, "You can drive it anywhere." You know, famous last words. You can drive it anywhere. And so we did. We drove on to Pensacola and checked into the college down there. And the kids took a tour of the school, and then we drove on down to Fort Pickens. Those of you who have been down there know about that. The beach was kind of deserted. We kicked off our shoes and rolled up our pant legs, and we walked in the water and the sand and picked up some shells and all. And after we'd spent a little time there, we started driving back to the college. And when we did, the temperature needle started rising fast. And the car got hotter and hotter. And I pulled into a Shell station there and let the car cool down a little bit. I got some antifreeze and filled it back up, and the car wouldn't start. It would turn over, but it wouldn't fire. It wouldn't kick off, and it wouldn't start. So I had to call a Chrysler dealer. We had the car towed into the dealership. I called Tim Stewart. His dad was our assistant pastor at the time, and he came and picked us up and took us to their house. And the next morning, I called the Chrysler dealer to talk to him about it. And, well, they hadn't had time to get it in yet and work on it. And so I called back later that day, and still no work done. So being the kind, patient, loving man that I was, I went down to the car dealership to see what was going on. And when I got down there, they actually hadn't done anything to the car. They pushed it into the garage and checked it out, and the next word was that the water pump was bad. And not only that, the timing belt was bad. And they said, "Now we got good news and bad news. The water pump is covered on the warranty, but the timing belt isn't covered on the warranty. And so you're going to have to, the water pump is froze up," and it was going to cost, I think, somewhere around $1,000 to get it done. And so we kind of talked about it a little bit, and they talked about it a little bit, and they checked some things, and they came back, and they said, "Well, I got good news for you. Since the water pump is covered with the warranty, it froze up, and it caused the timing chain to go bad, so everything's covered under the warranty." So I said, "Wow, praise the Lord for that." And so we left the car, and they worked on it and fixed it for us, and praise the Lord, we were able to, Tim Stewart loaned us a car to use for the day. And so we went back to the beach, and the kids got blistered. They got sunburned and blistered, and they hadn't been on the beach and out there much. And then we came back, and we went to church that night. We went to campus church. And the next morning, Thursday morning, God woke me up early in the morning. It was probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't sleep. And I began to think and pray, and I said, "Something is wrong. Something, why? You know, the car broke down, I got sick the night before, the kids got sunburned. Why is all of this happening?" And then the Lord reminded me that normally we had homeschooled our kids, and normally that week we would have been in Knoxville at the, we would have a week of homeschooling training every year, and we would have been in Knoxville for that scheduled training. And the Lord seemed to be saying to me, I want you to go to Knoxville. And so I talked to Vicki, and she felt like the Lord was saying the same thing to her. And we talked to the kids, and they, you know, we're on vacation. So they said, well, we'll honor you. And so we headed off to Knoxville. We got back there and spent the night in a motel. And the next morning I got up and drove over to the, it was actually at UT, University of Tennessee, there in Knoxville for the training. And I listened. I was there for one session. And that one session that I sat in, the speaker spoke on this principle here in Jeremiah 35. Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with thee. And I thought, you know what? It's not well with me on this vacation. Things aren't going well. And so I began to pray and ask the Lord, how could I honor my father and mother? And the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, I want you to go see them. They lived in Virginia. We had been to Florida. We're now in Tennessee. And the Lord just said, I want you to go to see him in Virginia. And so we talked it over and we decided that we would go. And at that time, my dad's health was failing. He was still pastoring a church. And sometimes you never know exactly what God is going to do. And I didn't know, but it was one of the last times I got to spend some time with my father before he passed away. And we drove there to Virginia, visited with our family for a little while and on Saturday. And Sunday morning, we got up and we were going to go to church and then drive partway back on Sunday afternoon. And so Mom came in and she said, Dad wants you to preach this morning. And I said, but Mom, I'm on vacation. You know, I just want to relax and take it easy. And she said, and Dad said, well, start your vacation tomorrow. He said, so you don't argue with my dad. Dad was an excellent debater, and he could win the debate. And so I said, sure, I would. And so I preached that morning for Dad, and we took him to lunch after the service. And then we got back to Hurricane, West Virginia, and went to Taze Valley Baptist Church Sunday night, and excellent service there, and drove on home after church, got home about 11 o'clock. And the next week, our vacation continued. We went down to Bloomfield, Kentucky, spent a week with Brother Joe Adams, and our kids were the same age as their kids, and they went horseback riding and did some things together. And then I got a sweet note from my dad and mom thanking me for coming by to see them, and just basically said it meant the world to them that I had taken a little time to honor my father and my mother. And I thought, you know, the Lord was trying to tell me things weren't going well. God was saying, honor your father and your mother. Now, how do we honor our father and mother? I could give you a whole list of things. I just want to give you two or three things this morning. If you want a whole lot more things, get a copy of our Sunday school lesson we had in Sunday school in the adult class today. There's a whole list of ways that we can honor our father and mother in that. But how can we honor our father and mother? To honor means to have high respect or great esteem. To have high respect or great esteem. Let me ask you a question. Do you have high respect for your parents? Do you have great esteem towards your parents? The first way we can honor them is obedience. Obedience. Are we violating any commands that our parents gave us to do? In Jeremiah 35, the Rechabites, their father had told them that they were to drink no wine. And when they were brought in before the king and the pots of wine were put before them and given cups and they told them to drink wine, verse 6 they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab the son of Rechab our father commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. And at least twice in that chapter the Lord said, because they obeyed the commands of their father, God blessed them. And because the Israelites did not obey the commands of their heavenly Father, God had to chasten them. And you get all the way down to the last verse of chapter 35, and he says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. God gave them a tremendous blessing. Why? Because they obeyed the commands of their father? Are we violating any commands that our parents gave us and told us? I know of a man that he was involved in a motorcycle accident. And he said that literally as he was sliding on the side of that motorcycle down the asphalt on the interstate, he was thinking, why is this happening to me? And he said God reminded him that his father had told him, don't ever ride a motorcycle. And those words came back to him just as clear as his dad was standing there talking to him. Don't ever ride a motorcycle. The Rechabites' fathers had said, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. When we violate the commands that our parents have given to us, things do not go well with us. God said, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee. Now I know there's a stage, and we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, younger when we obey, and then as we are mature and out on our own, when you take the counsel, and then when you get an old age, you honor them by caring for them and so forth. There's different stages of that. But there are commands that our parents have given to us that we need to evaluate. Are there commands that we are no longer, we just kind of brush them away and say, that doesn't apply to me anymore. That doesn't. Maybe in the area of the music that we listen to. Maybe in the area of how we dress. Well, I'll tell you, we as parents could give our some kids some commands about how to dress, couldn't we? Dress modestly and appropriately. Maybe about the friends that we have. Maybe about the school that we go to. Or maybe about tobacco and drugs and all of those kinds of things. There are some commands, and if we'll think back, and you know, the honest truth is sometimes God will remind you of those things, especially when things aren't going well with you. Obedience is the first way we can honor our parents. Secondly, giving our time to our father and mother. Giving time to them. We honor them by giving them time. Call them. Spend some time on the phone talking with them. Visit as often as possible. I remember when my dad was in the hospital before he passed away, I had gone to Russia on a mission trip. And I got back, and when I got back from the trip, I knew Dad was ill, and we didn't think he was seriously ill and would pass away. But I drove out to Virginia just to spend a little bit of time with Dad, and I was there for a couple of days and then drove back to be here for Sunday. And I remember I went into the hospital room, and Dad wanted to hear all about my trip to Russia. And I had to tell him all about it and everything. But just, I was honoring him by spending some time. I didn't know before the next week was over he'd be in heaven. But I spent some time, and I'm sure glad I did. Meet their needs whenever you can. There are needs that our parents have that we can meet them. And I know as young people especially think, oh, wait a minute, my parents are supposed to meet my needs. But as we get older, we help to meet their needs. When we honor our parents and our grandparents by giving time to them, God causes things to go well for us. He causes things to go well for us. I know of a businessman whose parents told him when he was younger that they wanted him to court a certain girl. And he did not have any desire for this girl. You know how it is. There's some people you have interest in. There's some people you just don't have interest in. And he had no interest, no desire whatsoever. But he reluctantly obeyed and honored their desire. And one day Jim was leaving this girl's house, the one that his parents wanted him to date. And as he was leaving the house, she hollered back to him and called his name. And she said, Jim. And she named another guy's name. She said, so-and-so asked me to marry him. Do you care? And Jim said, no. And she said, well, I don't want to hurt you. And he said, it doesn't hurt. In fact, it feels pretty good, he said. And in just a short while, that couple got married. And after the wedding, Jim's mom called him. And she said, did you take a wedding gift by for them? And Jim said, no, Mom, I didn't take a wedding gift. Boys don't take wedding gifts. And she said, my boys do. And so Jim said he reluctantly took a wedding gift over to their place where they were living. And he knocked on the door, and this girl, whom his parents had wanted him to court, came to the door. He gave him the wedding gift. And as he turned to leave, she said to him, oh, Jim, before you go, I want you to meet someone. And Jim stepped inside and he said, "She introduced me to the bridesmaid who was the most beautiful, sweetest, godliest girl I'd ever met in my life." And not long after that, he married her. And Jim said this. He said, "I would have never met her had I not honored my parents and dated this girl. And they were the ones that introduced me to the one that I married." You see, God said, "Honor thy father and thy mother that it may be well with thee." When things are not going well in your life, it may be that God is prompting you. It may be God is trying to get your attention and say, "Hey, you're not honoring your father and your mother." A young man by the name of Scott asked his dad one time about going on a skiing trip with his friends. And his dad said, "No," he said, "Scott, I don't think you ought to go," but he said, "I'm not going to argue with you about it." He said, "I'm going to let you make your own decision." And so Scott went on the skiing trip in spite of his dad's caution not to go. And on the way on that skiing trip, they had a very serious car accident. The car spun around and they rolled several times. And Scott called his dad and he said, "Dad, why in the world is this happening to me?" And his dad said, "I told you I didn't think you ought to go on that trip, but I didn't want to argue with you. And you decided to go anyway instead of honoring the direction that I had given to you. And in doing so, you got out from under the protection of your father's protection." And the result of it, he ended up in a serious car accident. God says, "Honor your father and mother that it may be well with thee." That it may be well with thee. In fact, he tells us this is the first commandment with promise. God says we honor them that it may be well with thee. What can I do to honor my father and mother? Obey them, obedience. What can I do to honor them? Spend time with them. There's a third thing that I want to mention, and that is we can show respect to them. Show respect to them. You know, it's sad when you hear young people speak of their dad and mom as the old man or the old lady. When you disrespectfully talk about your parents. And I know when you were kids, we think we know everything, and we think dad and mom don't know anything. But the older you get, the more you find out they knew a lot more than you thought they did. And after a while, you figure out you didn't know anything. You kind of get the thing in the right order. Show respect for them. One of the ways you show respect for them is, and I've talked about this in Sunday school a little bit too, is introduce them to your friends. Introduce them enthusiastically. Let other people know you're proud of your parents. You're grateful, you're thankful for them. There's a man whose parents were missionaries in Mexico by the name of Bob Hartenstein. Bob owned a company over in Evendale called the HeartGo Company. And we, in fact, back when we had a Christian school here, we took the kids over and did a tour. Bob's company made the bladders for all the NFL footballs. In fact, they made bladders for about 98% of all the footballs in the country. And the Lord blessed his business and used him in a mighty way. But Bob, when he was growing up, his dad was very abusive. Physically, as a kid, he abused him. And one time, Bob said he broke a window and he lied to his dad about it. And his dad knew that he had broken it. And he said, "My dad literally kicked me all the way up the stairs to the room and made me stay in my room for 3 days." And he said, "My mom snuck food up to me so that I have something to eat." And there was not a good relationship between Bob and his dad. But one day, years later, his mom gave him a big picture, a big portrait of his dad. And when he gave it to him, he really didn't have much of a need for it or desire for it. There was no love lost between he and his dad. And there was no place really to put the picture. And so Bob is a Christian man, and he began to pray about it and ask the Lord what he should do with the picture. And God prompted him to put it in the lobby of his company, of HeartCo Company there in Evendale, which he did. Sometime later, his dad and mom came and they saw the picture there. The dad saw the picture, and his family, they all saw the picture there and how he had honored his dad by putting his picture in the lobby of the company. Sometime later, his son went to football camp. And when he went to the camp, he was struggling there. And he, there at camp, some of the boys, a lot of them were not saved. He was. And they made fun of him, made light of his testimony. And he called his dad and he said, "Dad, pray for me." He said, "Some of the guys are making fun of me." And he said, "It's hard." But he stood alone and he stood up and he actually led two of the young men at the sports camp to the Lord. And later his dad said to him, his dad Bob said to his son, he said, "Son," he said, "let me ask you a question." He said, "What gave you the strength to stand up for God? What gave you the strength to stand alone and to witness to these guys, even though some of them made fun of you?" And here's what he said. He said, "Dad, I saw how you honored your dad by putting his picture in the lobby of the business. And," he said, "I wanted to honor you like you honored your dad." You see, God says, honor your father and mother that it may be well with you. Could I ask you this morning, is it well with thee? Are you honoring your father and your mother? When things aren't going well, could God be prompting you? Could God be saying to you, you're not honoring your father and your mother like you ought to? A businessman was prompted by the Lord to honor his mom. And so he decided he would send her some flowers. And he put a little note on the flowers. And all it said was on the note, it said, "No reason, no special occasion, I just love you." And he sent the flowers to his mom. His mom called him and she said, "I just love the flowers that you sent me." She said, "Thank you so much for thinking of me and sending the flowers." She said, "By the way, I was having a ladies' Bible study in my home when the florist came with the flowers. I had a group of ladies there when the doorbell rang. And the florist delivered these beautiful flowers." And she said, "The ladies, they were so jealous and they saw the flowers." And she said, "Right away, somebody said, 'Happy birthday.'" And she said, "It's not my birthday." And they said, "Well, happy anniversary." And she said, "It's not my anniversary." And they said, "Well, what's the special occasion? Why did you get the flowers?" And so she read the card to them. "No reason, no special occasion, I just love you." And she said, those ladies were so jealous. They said, "My son's never done anything like that for me. My son has never sent flowers like that." And as she told that to this young man, he said, "I just had to thank God. Lord, thank you for prompting me at just the right time. God, you're so good to prompt me to do that for my mom and to honor her." Call your parents. Send them some flowers. Pray for them. Pray for them every day. Pray a wall of protection around them. Send a letter of gratefulness. Tell them how they've benefited your life. Ask God to show you how they've benefited your life and tell them about it. Write it down. Send it on a piece of paper, on a letter. Tell them something like this: "I wouldn't want to be any other person's son or daughter than yours." Let them know you appreciate them. Honor. Honor means to esteem and value as precious, that it may go well with thee. To esteem and value as precious. Now I want you to notice something. God did not say, honor them if it's easy to get along with them. He didn't even say, honor them if they're Christians. He didn't say, honor them if they aren't abusive. He said, honor your father and your mother that it may be well with thee. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. With our heads bowed, you may say, my father and mother are gone, and you can still honor them after they're gone. Most importantly, let me remind you of your Heavenly Father. If you're saved, honor Him, obey Him, spend time with Him, show respect, esteem, value as precious. Why are we here today on this Father's Day in the Lord's house, in church? We're here to honor our Heavenly Father. And could I say that every Sunday we miss church to do something else, we dishonor our Heavenly Father. Is it well with thee? Are you honoring your heavenly Father? Are we honoring our earthly father and mother? Lord, you know our hearts. You know our lives. These Rechabites stood firmly to keep the commandments that their dad had given to them. They would not bow. They wouldn't compromise. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to have the courage that they had to honor our father and our mother, and especially to honor our heavenly Father, that it may be well with us. And Lord, when things are not going well, would you prompt us? Would you cause us to turn our hearts toward you and let you show us where we're not honoring and what we can do to honor our earthly parents, to honor our heavenly parents. Help us to honor our father and mother, that it may be well with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.